WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Cagney and Lacey are reunited in a made-for-TV movie that airs Tuesday night on CBS. The TV series, which ran from 1982 to 88, was perhaps the first series to make an attempt to realistically deal with the lives of women cops. My guests Sharon Glass and Tyne Daly starred in the series. After the series ended, Tyne Daly starred in the Broadway revival of Gypsy. Sharon Glass married one of the creators of Cagney and Lacey, Barney Rosenzweig, and collaborated with him on another series, The Trials of Rosie O'Neill. Tuesday night's movie is the second of four planned reunion films. Christine Cagney, played by Glass, is now a lieutenant frustrated by her desk job. Mary Beth Lacey, played by Daly, has returned to the force after retiring because her husband, Harv, has had a heart attack and is unable to work. Lacey wants to take on the case of a homeless man who she thinks has been falsely accused of murder.
Christine, you have to help me with this Chance Tucker thing.
Mary Beth, you already turned the information over to Feldberg. He says that the local precinct will look into it.
They already have a suspect. It's going to end up at the bottom of the pile. Chris, I want to do this with you.
He's already given you another assignment.
It's another list to compile. I will do it at night if you help me with this here.
Mary Beth, I went and I talked to the clerk at the liquor store.
When?
Last night. Thought it was worth another look.
And?
And he hinted that maybe Tucker was telling the truth.
You see? Now you put that together with the theft from the sports car.
Assuming it's even the same car, you can't prove anything. All you've got is suspicions about one guy and a wink and a nod from another.
I think before Cagney and Lacey, the TV shows that had women cops were Charlie's Angels, in which that show was as much about glamour as anything else, and Get Christy Love, and then Police Woman, which starred Angie Dickinson. Mm-hmm. When you started the series, what did you want to do different from the women cops of earlier shows?
Well, I don't dishonor those shows because I do think that they made an attempt to do something. You know, we're all of us products of our time frame, and in the time frame, they were, in fact, allowing women to be at the helm of shows. So I can't despise them at all. Without those four mothers, as the women's movement is fond of saying, there wouldn't have been us in some ways. But we certainly were really interested in talking about women who do not wear high heels to run around the streets after bad guys, who actually have the smarts to change into their tennies to go home on the subway, even much less to chase after perpetrators.
Was there ever any pressure on you both from outside or inside, or pressure on the writers to make the characters more glamorous?
Sure. There was lots of pressure from all sorts of places. There's pressure on women in this society to be more glamorous no matter what they do, but certainly on actresses.
I used to be very offended by people saying, well, are you going to be feminizing the show? And I said, no. I mean, it's already a feminine show. It starts two women.
We are females. Here we are.
Right. So I went out of my way, to just make her the woman that she is.
Yeah, there were a lot of real dumb assumptions in terms of the women being strong and friends. There was stuff about lesbianism. There was stuff about not being glamorous enough. There was stuff. But that happens whenever you're trying what's that awful phrase? Push the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So what were the pressures about being more glamorous? Where did they come from? What was said?
Geez, that's a long time
yeah.
ago.
I never got any direct pressure from any network, and certainly not from Barney. Just when I would be given interviews, I would be asked, so are you going to make the show more feminine? Are you?
I know. We hired new costume people that second season, you know, that were supposed to upgrade the clothes. There was supposedly more attention. I had to.
Oh, they did cut bangs on me.
Right. I had to.
What was that supposed to do?
I don't know, soften me, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I had to beat the hairdresser away, you know, and said, tell her just to leave me alone because Mary Beth hadn't seen the back of her own hair in 15 years. And I didn't want to be constantly fluffed in terms of this very busy, very tired lady. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and Mary Beth was hardly a very fashion-conscious character.
No.
So, I mean, that's the way she should have been. Yeah. But were you told she should be dressing better for the audience?
They brought in all these clothes, you know, and then you just, and then you have to fight about what to wear and what not to wear. It's all about image. And we were trying to get inside these women. But there was, I felt there was, in those days, if I go back, there was a lot of discussion about how they looked and what they ought to look like.
A few years into it, I was taken shopping and told to get a better bra and to start wearing sort of slinkier clothes.
What was wrong with your other bra?
I got a better bra. they decided I wasn't high enough. But I let them buy the clothes, and then I didn't wear them.
What was it like for you both to learn how to carry a gun for the series?
Different experience. I was very nervous about it. When I first was invited to play Cagney, or when I first came to play Cagney, I was sent to the police academy for training, and Tyne showed up, really just, I think, for support.
No, I was cleaning up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so there we were out on the target practice, and they had blanks in it, and I was doing, you know, so-so. And then they took the blanks out and put real bullets in, and I just lost it. I really got very, very frightened. Tears started rolling down my face. I was shaking. I just hate guns. But I looked over at Tyne, and she had her bullets in, and she was getting pretty close to the bullseye, and all of a sudden I got very competitive. I said, wait a minute. This Cagney's not a wuss. Wait a minute. So I started popping them off, but I never had been comfortable ever carrying the gun. When I needed to feel the weight in my purse, I would carry small cans of tomato juice. It got to be sort of a joke with us. And the only time I would actually carry the gun, because our guns that you saw us with were actual real guns that did work. If I had to carry it on me, like in a strap across my chest or in my belt, I would then do it. But otherwise, it was always in the prop man's hands.
My guests are Sharon Gless and Tyne Daly. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Sharon Gless and Tyne Daly. They're reunited in a CBS movie called Cagney and Lacey, Together Again. It airs Tuesday night. Did you talk with women cops before you started the series?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who'd you seek out? Where did you go?
I used just the women that they provided for us. On the set, we had technical advisors, and it was fascinating to me to hear the stories when I was first there. I remember it was like my first day on the set, and I don't remember who the technical advisor was.
It's that very short blonde woman. She was wonderful. She was from California.
Right.
And she had six kids, and she'd been married twice, both time to cops.
Right.
And she was our first TA, and I can't recall her name either, which is too bad. But she was an interesting woman.
I was worried of the fact that we were playing non-traditional roles, and it was in a man's world. And I remember I asked her, is it all right to show feelings in these characters?
And she said no. She said if you're standing over a dead body and you quiver and shake and throw up, they're going to not respect you, and you can't do it. You got to hold on to yourself.
Right.
Did you talk to a lot of women cops after the series was established and get a sense of what they thought of the characters and of the show?
They contacted us.
Yeah.
But so, I would like to say, by the by, I also talked to a lot of men cops.
What's the range of response you heard from cops about the show?
Mostly positive, that I remember.
I think that people don't trouble too often unless they're very upset to tell you what they hate about it. I mean, we got a lot of appreciative mail all around, you know.
The most frightening is when you get mail from young women or young girls who say, I love your show, and I'm just out of high school, and I've just enrolled. I'm going on the force. You know, you want to write them back and say, look, you can get killed. This is just a dramatization. But
however, chances are if they're not made for it and they go through the academy, they'll either do it or they get weeded out. But it does feel like a huge responsibility to have the young saying, I'd like to follow in your footsteps as a cop. And you want to say, darling, I'm an actress.
Right.
I know nothing about being a cop.
Right.
You know, if you want to talk about my profession and go into my profession, that's a whole other discussion.
Right.
Well, I guess that made you think twice about doing anything that would glamorize police work.
No, my intention was to do a lot of sitting in front of the typewriter filling out reports. And yeah, because
well, that's
I mean,
is.
The boring part of the job, the stuff that's just routine is so huge. And yeah, we were allowed to do that in a way that a glamorous male star who has to uphold the fantasy of what cop life is like is not obliged to do. It wasn't until a little bit later that we start getting your Hill Street Blues and your L.A. Laws and stuff like that when we look a little bit of how it really goes. But still, we had a couple of gunfights, but they were rare. Because mm-hmm. if you pull that weapon in real life and to shoot somebody, you're going to have to fill out reports in triplicates
right.
you know, about why you did it and where the thing landed and how come you used two bullets instead of one.
We also were told that as often as you see guns being pulled on television by people who play cops, that they don't do that.
In a given
they don't
career.
Pull that gun unless they mean to use it.
Tyne Daly, were you pregnant in real life when your character was pregnant in the series?
I sure was.
Very.
I got pregnant shortly after we shut down one season, and
at Christmas
I fessed up to my boss, thinking maybe I'd get fired and then I could get some rest. But he immediately said, "Okay, we put it in the show," and we geared up and went back to work after being down for what, only a month or five
weeks? He called me in Toronto
weeks.
Where I was shooting with John Ritter and said, "You have to come home immediately."
Yes.
I said, "I'm here. I'm doing a show." He says, "Well, you have to come back." Hey, Barney, I'm
working.
Doing this for 5 weeks, you know. Well, as soon as you finish.
Did the writers have to find out what real police policies were in different parts of the country about women being pregnant on the job?
Sure. Sure.
Just in New York, really.
Well,
no, just in New York, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we did a show.
It came
on
the place. It came the yeah. We did a show where Chris had to tell Mary Beth
she had to leave.
She had to go home. Time to go.
Sharon Glass, did you want the series to end?
When it ended,
yeah.
By that time, I was ready. Hell, I was in rehab when it ended.
were you?
Yeah, I was at Hazleton when I got the news. And I thought, it's best. It's fine. I need a rest. I need a break. I noticed there was, when it was time to go back, you know, when that time, whenever it is you go back to do your series again, when that time rolled around, I remember sort of feeling an emptiness. Gosh, this is when I'd be doing this. But I was glad. I felt we'd all done wonderful, wonderful work. I'd made a friend for life. I fell in love with the producer, which was good news and bad news. all kinds of things happened, so I went away with many things. But when the end came, it was okay.
Let me ask you, was there any connection between your characters' drinking problem and your own time in rehab?
No. I don't believe that. I didn't even think that I had a problem until a year after Cagney had sobered up.
That's funny, because Cagney never thought she had a problem.
Well, that's true.
I guess you didn't
no,
learn anything
there may be
from
some
that.
some level on which I actually, the doctor that I interviewed with about what I should do and do I have a problem, blah, blah, said, I thought, he said, when you were playing Cagney, he said, I thought you were sober. I thought that you, I mean, I was sober when I shot it, but he said, I thought you had already been in rehab and knew exactly how to play an alcoholic. And I said, well, that was me just acting. He said, well, very impressive. He said, thank you. Because I wasn't that good where I could drink on the set. I wouldn't remember my lines, and that particular two-parter had a lot of monologues in them. So, anyway, I don't relate between the two. She was one person, and I was another.
It's sort of the same thing as having a real baby and then having a pretend baby.
Mm-hmm.
When I got back from having Alexandra, Mary Beth had to be pregnant. That pregnancy went on for, I don't know, 13, 14
yeah.
months. And then there came the birthing scene, you know, and everybody sort of assumed that because I'd just done some birthing and, you know, I'd done it before, I had three kids and stuff like that, that I would be drawing on my experience in life to play out this stuff that Mary Beth was going through in terms of her pregnancy. But indeed, the mind does something for you. I couldn't remember a thing about birthing Alexandra while I was birthing the imaginary Alice. You draw on some experience, but there's a place where the characters, unless you're insane, there's a place where the characters diverge from each other. If you are actually doing, you know, stealing your entire life to apply to the character, I think you're certifiable.
Yeah, exactly. The truth is, when Charlie Cagney died, my father really was dying in a hospital, and never once did I ever use it. Well, ever, ever. Huh.
It's too hard to use, too close to use.
Yeah.
It's too precious. That's your that's your life.
And there is enough power between, with my feelings for Christine and her feelings for her dad. It was enough.
Mm-hmm. So you've got the Cagney and Lacey movie coming up. You're shooting another one now that will be...
We're shooting two more.
So there's a total of four.
Right.
And any more Cagney and Lacey plans after that?
Not right now.
No, but I'm open.
Okay.
There's still two of the best parts there are for women on television, yeah. So it's fun.
Tyne Daly and Sharon Gless star in the movie Cagney and Lacey Together Again, Tuesday night on CBS. This is Fresh Air.